This is Liara Tassoni from Mass Effect. You are listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Hey gang, Ash from the Rated NA podcast here. We have a very special episode for you tonight, a one-on-one interview with Ali Hillis, star of games such as Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, where she plays the role of Dr. Liara Tassoni. Also, you may know her from games such as Final Fantasy 13, where she plays the role of Lightning, or perhaps from StarCraft 2, where she plays Dr. Ariel Hansen. Needless to say, this one is a lot of fun, so please stick around and let us know what you think.
Been in literally some of the biggest franchises of all time: StarCraft II, Final Fantasy. Of course, you played Lightning, which was, you know, and you're playing Lightning again. And so you hear. Yeah, I would assume you're playing Lightning again. And of course, Mass Effect, which is, you know, all of us at the site. It's probably honestly our favorite game of all time, and we've played games since, you know, we were little kids, and I literally gave away copies of Mass Effect 2 to all my groomsmen at my wedding.
Did you really? Wow.
It's a really special game for a lot of us, not just myself. What is that like going in and being such a big part of all of these things that are really important to a lot of people?
Well, coming from the first a theater actor and then moving to Los Angeles, being in TV and film, I didn't really know the weight that the gaming industry carried and how huge it has gotten and has been, really. But, you know, it was kind of, I don't know if I want to say underground, but it wasn't as big now. I mean, now I drive down major streets in Los Angeles and there are huge billboards for Call of Duty Black Ops. I'm like, yes. Yeah, yeah. That is awesome. So I was kind of oblivious to this whole, not to the whole industry, but just that it had gotten so huge. I mean, I played games when I was young, and, you know, as I got older, I travel a lot and I don't have as much time, but I stumbled into the gaming industry, literally. A wonderful friend of mine, whose birthday it is today, shout out, he introduced me to a voiceover agent, and at the time I was doing a lot of films, so I didn't really, I could give or take having voiceover representation, and I started auditioning for things. And basically my first, now I did Xenosaga a long time ago. I didn't even know what it was, really. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just a job. I didn't really understand what I was doing because that was also ADR. I was having to put English into the Japanese mouths in that game. Ooh, hey, yeah,
brutal.
That's a little brutal. It's a little tough, but it's a game with your brain. It's a brain game. Then when I auditioned for Final Fantasy, Mass Effect came first. Mass Effect, then Final Fantasy, then StarCraft. I wasn't even really sure what exactly it was that I would be doing, because, you know, playing games, I wasn't sure how fleshed out these characters would be. And I was delighted to learn in Mass Effect, working with an amazing director, Jenny McSwain, for BioWare. I was delighted to learn that I could actually, you know, conceptualize a character and come up with her own voice and her own presence in the game and personality. And that I actually was acting, you know, all that stuff I learned in New York City didn't go to waste.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that blew my mind. And then again, with, you know, with Final Fantasy, I met Jack Fletcher, who's an amazing director. And Square Enix really already had a character molded in Japanese, so I got to listen to her interpretation. And Square Enix had a completed game more or less in Japanese, so that was really cool because I don't speak a lick of Japanese, but just to hear her intonation, and you know, it kind of led me into figuring out. And originally in Final Fantasy, they wanted the voice to be a little higher, because in Japan, you know, the higher squeaky voices are more sexy. So we had a little work to do there with finding Lightning's voice and what she would be like in order to appeal to the masses. And then came StarCraft with Blizzard. So, and Andrea Romano directed that. All those directors direct animation. So I realized the video games were acting gigs and I was friggin' psyched.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely bring a lot of personality to your roles. And I definitely noticed that even for the small bit that Liara was in Mass Effect 2, mm-hmm. and the Lair of the Shadow Broker DLC, you can notice the shift in the character from being almost this meek, quiet, you know, doctor to being like this ultra badass, you know, who goes on to become the Shadow Broker. So it's very... Yeah, I mean, you can definitely see that in your performance, and I just thought that was just awesome, you know?
Thank you very much.
Very excited to see what happens in 3, but I'm not going to ask you because I don't want to spoil it for myself. But I know you're in pretty much the whole game for 3 is what I've been hearing. And they just, today actually, because of E3, they just released the new trailer, and then it had a lot of fun information.
I did just watch that. That's why I was a little delayed in this interview, because I had to sit down and watch that trailer before I could pick up this in case... You know, I learned something new or whatever. So that, I love the trailer. It was pretty enticing.
Yeah, it was. It definitely gets you amped for more Mass Effect. And the addition of Kinect is going to be so interesting to be able to, I don't know if you read that, but they're going to use the Microsoft Kinect to be able to issue voice commands to the game. So you'll be able to be like, you know, Liara, warp field or.
Wow. And Kinect is going to come in useful in all kinds of scenarios in Mass Effect.
Yeah, very, very
I can't
cool.
wait to see how that plays out since Liara has some romantic involvement with...
Oh, man. I never thought about the...
You didn't think about that? How could you
I
not
know.
Think about that?
I didn't
that?
Think about the erotic implications of
Wow, your wife is...
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I have to ask you about the size of these scripts real quick. And I saw an interview with you and Jennifer Hale. I think it was at the Spike VGAs. And you guys were talking about how the size of these scripts that you get for these games are colossal. And I think you guys were talking about Star Wars The Old Republic saying that, you know, the script for that game is, you know, several phone books thick. As an actor, do you just kind of look at that and get nervous? I mean, I can't imagine having that huge undertaking. Like, what is that like?
They are behemoth. It's you know, the multitude of dialogue that's in these games can be overwhelming. But we just take it piece by piece and. The directors really guide us through. I mean, the concepts, you know, when I work on a film, I'm given the script ahead of time. I've already looked at the character descriptions. You know, I know what I'm walking into and I've already conditioned a character and I've already memorized my lines and I'm set to go. But when I walk into a gaming situation, as I did with Mass Effect and Final Fantasy, basically the director has to sit down and guide me through it and either, you know, give me pages to read, just background and concept of the game or, you know, whatever. We go in blind because just like you guys, we don't know anything about what we're doing until we get there. And then we have to sign pages of, you know, contracts that don't allow us. Yeah, non-disclosure, NDAs. We cannot disclose anything. So we don't know anything before walking in the door. And looking at that tower of paper is definitely a little bit intimidating. Yeah. It's intimidating. But having said that, we are so carefully guided through these games, piece by piece, bit by bit. The surroundings and what we're dealing with is so specifically drawn out by our directors that and by the gaming companies that they make sure that we know what we're doing and where we are and who we're talking to and who we are and what we're fighting for and what we're fighting with.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's very much like making a motion picture in that, you know, you have, it's just a massive, massive, you know, 40, 50 hour motion picture. So it's a new medium. And that's like when I talk to people about Mass Effect, cause I'm like, I'm one of those nerds that just loves it so much. I like brag about it to all my friends. Like, you have to play it. I even talk to my students about it, which I probably shouldn't do. I'm like, guys, if you haven't played Mass Effect 2, you're not playing video games. I don't know what you're doing. But it is a new way of storytelling in that the player is, you know, is the main protagonist. And you really just have this amazing world and this just quality of storytelling that really, I don't think has really been done too many times in the past. So it's really amazing. No.
I sort of equate it when the older generations ask me, like my parents ask me about video games and what do you mean? Do you do the thing like Mario in Mario Brothers? And I'm like, no, Charles is an amazing actor and he does all of those Mario Brothers so well. But no, it's a different ball game at this point. And I kind of equate it to when I'm describing it to people who don't understand RPGs, don't understand games.
Yeah.
These days, I'm like, you know, today's games are more or less, they remind me of sort of a blend between film and those books we used to read in third grade where we got to pick the ending.
Oh, I totally remember those. Choose Your Adventure. Those were great.
Yeah, it's Choose Your Adventure in a way. So it's sort of like movies on acid because you get to choose your adventure and become involved and become the characters, pick your teams, pick your friends. You know, it's a whole new medium that I think is going to blast off. And having said that, at E3 last year, I went and was seeing the big demonstration on Halo.
Okay.
It's a good friend of mine is a designer for Halo, for Bungie, and an artist. And we sat there, and like two people down from us was Steven Spielberg.
Wow. Yeah, it's becoming bigger and bigger every year.
The film actress in me was stunned to see Spielberg at a video gaming conference. And I'm like, hey, he knows what's up. He knows what the future holds.
Yes, he does. You know,
more or less. He's sort of got his finger on the pulse of entertainment. And I think that gaming is, I mean, obviously we've seen the numbers. Gaming is surpassing.
It is crazy. I looked at those the other day and I was like, wow, it's actually happening. Like it's finally getting some respect and some recognition, which it definitely deserves. It's actually a good segue. Is there any chance that you and the rest of the cast are going to be going to any conventions in the next, you know, couple years to promote Mass Effect and maybe do a voice actors panel or anything like that? Because I love those. And this is just sort of a personal question because I'd love to go see you guys, you know, in character.
Well, that's so cool of you to say. Thank you. I have to tell you, you know, in TV and film, it's sort of planned out. You know, when a new TV show comes out, publicists are hired by the networks who, you know, smather our faces and names all over the place to try to publicize their shows. But with gaming, it's not so much that. In fact, in the gaming community, I find that, at least this is what I'm learning, that if you are overexposed, it's actually not in your favor. So, yeah. So I don't know if that's going to change. I know games are starting to hire more and more recognizable names, which I think is a good and a bad thing. Coming from TV and film myself, I think it's a good thing in the way that you're getting you're getting usually solid actors, but the actors in the gaming community are so phenomenal. Our Troy Bakers and our Laura Bailey's and Liam O'Brien's and Sam Riegel's and all these amazing Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, all these people are such solid actors. And they're also excellent voiceover artists. So it's not always the case that the two of them blend together. You know, it's not always the case that an on-camera actor can switch over into voiceover, and it is not always the case it can go vice versa. But I have to say, we love to go to conventions. It's tough to get away from work, I'll say that. And also, a lot of the conventions, like I said, in TV and film, the higher-ups splash us all over the place. So it's very easy to get access. We have publicists, blah, blah, blah. In gaming, there's not as much of, I don't know if it hasn't been fleshed out yet, if they're going to do it in the future, but they don't always promote the actors or not at all. We got invited to the big release of the Square Enix party for Final Fantasy 13. And what I was told is that's kind of an anomaly that usually they don't invite voice actors. Yeah, so I think, you know, it may be something we'll see more of in the future, actors being promoted, voice over actors being promoted a little bit more, or maybe not, because maybe these games are so complicated that they don't want to put a face out there because they don't want to ruin the end of the story.
Yeah, that's true, too. And it might also spoil the illusion a little bit for the player, you know, if you see who the character actually is, who the actor is playing the character, it's a little bit different than, you know, seeing a film actor in person, but I love it. So hopefully
some gamers love it. You know, all the people that I meet love it, obviously, or they wouldn't be coming to meet me. But I have been to exactly two conventions. I would love to go to more conventions. I don't have access and they don't have access to me. So I always tell people I'm on Facebook. If you want me to come to your convention, then just shoot me a message and I'll get to it eventually. And hopefully we can hook it up. Cause awesome. I, you know, getting away from work is not easy, but if I can get away, I certainly want to, cause I love meeting the fans and I learn a lot more about what I do through you guys.
I think you'd be surprised at how eager a lot of fans would probably be to get to meet you guys and, you know, see you do your thing. I think, like, especially Mass Effect is so loved by the community. I think, like, you guys would be walking on sunshine, as they say.
Yeah, it's cool. I have to say it's really cool. And I think a gaming convention, it might be fun at some point for somebody to set up sort of a mock studio.
That'd
so
be
people
awesome.
Get to see, because most of the questions we get asked at the all of two conventions that I've been to, SAC Anime and EXPCon down in Florida.
Oh, really?
Actually. Yeah, that, and I'm probably going to that again this year, actually. It's in, is it Jacksonville? Oh, God, he's going to kill me. Go to EXPCon.com, EXPCon.com. I think that's what it is. And
we'll drive up and say hi.
Dude, come on up. Say hi.
We'll definitely
do that. Be there.
Yeah, Jacksonville's not
should
just
like
be ours.
Cool. Unless something happens, or is it St. Augustine? I can't remember, but look it up and it will, hopefully we'll be there. I was there last year with Troy Baker and, Charles Martinet, who is the Mario Brothers. That was awesome.
That's very cool.
It was his first convention. I think he was awesome. Great guy.
Back to the quality of voice work in the past, like older games, like from the, let's say the mid-90s to maybe even early 2000, when voice work was really just starting to be heavily used in games for the first time, the quality of the voice work wasn't great, to put it really nicely. I mean, like old games, like comically, they always talk about the first Resident Evil game had like some of the worst voice acting in history. Why do you think there's such a massive shift in recent years? I mean, you just talked about how you guys are all literally just great actors, and then you just are great voice actors as well. Do you think that studios are finally taking notice that is something that needs to happen these days? Like the community will notice if there's bad voice work?
I think the change probably came when the game started getting, I mean, you know, the picture quality is completely different as well. I think as the games evolve and become more and more real, they need their characters to be more and more real. I mean, you know, as gamers, we're playing with headphones on and we want to hear everything. We want to hear the texture. We want to see the reality. When I saw StarCraft II for the first time at a presentation at Blizzard, which is an amazing, amazing company, we went down there and you could see the bubbles in the glass from the ice in the drink. I was blown away. I mean, they worked so hard to put together an amazing soundtrack that you could buy, you know? I just think, you know, as we talked about before, movies and video games are becoming more and more one and the same. So I think as video games have evolved, they have had to search out, you know, better and better quality in every aspect of gaming. I also think it's helped a lot. They started using Screen Actors Guild actors, union actors.
It's definitely noticeable now that you plug a game in and, you know, you could just, it's a brand new experience, even in the past 5 years. Yeah, absolutely. So,
and voiceover, you know, voiceover artists are realizing that, you know, they really have to let it all go in the studio. They can't stay controlled. If you want to be in gaming, you've got to be able to really let it out. I mean, if you've got to cry in a game, cry. You know, if you have to scream, scream. If you're dying, freaking die. No, don't die. Don't die.
Don't actually do that.
Don't die. Please don't die. Whoever's listening, I don't want to get sued. Don't die. But you know, you have to really do it and you have to really go there. And if you don't, I think the gaming community is smart enough, savvy enough, observant enough to know which characters in the game are weaker than others. And, you know, the companies that are really concerned with making, you know, the best possible product and really absorbing, I say absorbing, like sucking the gamer into the game, they need to hire actors who take it seriously, you know, who don't just go, oh, I'm doing this video game. It's like, no, I'm doing a freaking video game, man. Like it has to be so specific and so real. And I think that's what it is. I think the gaming companies realized that and started probably searching out actors that had, you know, that can give them that kind of performance and not so presentational as we've had in the past. But, you know, it also has changed with the gaming. You know, the games are completely different than they used to be. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask my embarrassing question. I'm just actually going to read it because I worded it. It says, okay, confession time. During the events of Mass Effect, my shepherd romanced Liara Tassoni. Even though there were plenty of opportunities to mess around in Mass Effect 2, I didn't. Even in the face of certain death, I remain loyal to Liara. Is it odd to meet fans that have an emotional connection to a character that you helped mold? I wrote that because I had this conversation. We do a podcast, and we were all talking about the characters that we romance because we're nerds, and we talk about that. And I was like, and my friends were, you know, asking me if I who I romanced in Mass Effect 2, and I was like, I didn't romance. This was before Shadow Broker came out. And I'm like, I didn't romance anyone because in Mass Effect 1, I was with Liara, and in Mass Effect 2, I didn't have the opportunity. They're like, are you crazy? You could have romanced anybody. And I was like, no, I'm going to stick to my guns. I am not going to do it. And they made it horribly. But I've talked to a lot of people since then that did the same thing. And is that strange to you that you players have such an emotional connection that they'll actually not stray, even though it's a completely fictitious scenario?
Ash, I am touched. I'm truly touched. And as I said before, your lady is a very lucky lady. yes, and so is Liara. Oh my goodness. I think that's awesome. Thank you, Commander Shepard. I appreciate your loyalty. We'll have to get together again sometime.
Good stuff. That's awesome. Woo!
Very cool. I should have used your real name. Anyway, I think that goes back to our conversation before, not to be redundant, but I think your own sort of dedication to that relationship, I think that goes back to our talk about the fact that these games have just become so much more real. And they are fantasy, but they're also becoming so real that it can become people's alternate universe. Liam O'Brien, who's a good friend of mine, who, if you look him up, I'm sure he's a lot of people's hero out there. Mm-hmm. He directs games as well. He's just immersed in the gaming community, and he has two beautiful kids and a wonderful wife. And, you know, it's his escape sometimes late at night when he, you know, is so torn up from working all day on games and taking care of his kids and everything. And you know, he'll go to the quiet of his little room and put his headphones on and play some games for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just it's a nice alternate universe from the stressors of today's world.
It's a nice escape, you know?
And it's a nice escape. And I do appreciate the loyalty.
Yeah.
I definitely do.
And as it is, I figured out, you know, like,
oh, I think it's awesome. And connect, it can be a little more awesome. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Hey-o.
Hey-o. Awesome. But I think it's cool. It's all about these relationships that are very important to the actors, as we know that it is I don't know, for me every actor is different, I'm sure, but for me, like I said, I'm doing a movie in there when I'm in that, when I'm recording, it's a
very, very
it's cool. Real to me, it's a film to me, and I make it as real as I can, even when playing a sexy blue alien with an interesting canter to her vocal quality.
That's awesome. So are you wrapped with Mass Effect 3?
I think what were we talking about? Lair of the Shadow Broker, talking about.
I was asking you secrets about Mass Effect 3.
Secrets. Oh yeah. It's the fact that we don't know anything half the time going in. The fact that sometimes we're coming out of nowhere, and it is really up to the incredibly talented directors who can't give us the whole scenario but give us some of it. And I think what I was saying is I got to actually watch content of Final Fantasy 13 But with Mass Effect, they were creating as we were working. So they didn't even necessarily know sometimes. Like every once in a while, they'd call and say, oh, we need to schedule a session again and redo some material. And the people at BioWare are so sweet. You know, they'll tell my agent, oh, it wasn't her fault. We just realized that, you know, this one scene that we recorded is actually going to be in battle. And we didn't realize that. So we have to up the, you know, the stakes in her voice and up the stakes of the voice recording so that we have a more intense scene going on. Cause you know, if I'm in super mellow Liara mode and talking, you know, technical jargon and we're in the middle of a battle scene, it's not going to really look right. So yeah,
those BioWare guys do seem incredibly nice. I've run into them at a few conventions and it's ridiculous. Like some companies just aren't very accommodating, but they've always been like beyond friendly, just ridiculous.
They're wonderful. I love my Canadians, man. Yeah, they're so great.
Something about those Canadians is incredibly nice. I have to ask you, you probably still under the NDA for the Star Wars Old Republic stuff, but you are working on it. That's up on IMDb, so I'm not getting any scoops or anything like that. It's not saying who you're playing. Are you doing a specific character or are you doing a variety of characters?
I can't talk about that, so
that means you're doing a specific character. Okay.
Possibly. or I might be doing 10 different characters. You know, a lot of times, just the way that SAG Screen Actors Guild contracts work, they are allowed to use us for something like up to 3 voices. I really should go back over that rule.
Yeah.
But so a lot of times, even when I'm playing a larger role in a game, if you listen really carefully to every single role, you might find other places where I'm in there because, you know, sometimes we'll finish a day recording something and all of a sudden the director will say, oh, I totally forgot to record this one soldier. Hey, can you do a something voice? And sure, let me give it a whirl. And then we do it. And it's, oh, okay, great. Good. That worked.
Cool.
You know, sometimes you just have to plug in alternate voices when they need it. And of course you're happy to do it because it's just more creative, more fun.
That's awesome. So the personal question, one of my favorite questions to ask is, since our site is nerdappropriate.com, we always ask people, what is their secret nerdy passion, something they're really into or something they collect or something they're like almost too embarrassed to talk about.
There's something, but you're going to laugh because it's such old news and I'm just, it's ridiculous that I'm still doing it. Really. I have to stop. It's not okay. My husband and I recently took a trip to Spain and over a bottle of wine pretty much every night before we went to bed when we probably should be doing other things. We played Angry Birds. Yeah.
That's not old news. A couple of the guys that work on the site with me, they love that game. And I actually haven't really played it yet just because I don't have,
don't do it.
I know.
Don't,
I heard it's like crack cocaine that I need to stay.
Don't do it. It's ridiculous. It's out of hand. I mean, it's out of hand. Went to see my niece and nephew, in North Carolina, South Carolina, actually. And we got my little nephew. He's in first grade kindergarten and he's playing Angry Birds. And I'm just like, wow, look at that. Now I've got him addicted.
Amazing.
And I just keep getting people addicted to it. So it's really, really not, it's not okay. I need to move on from that. My other passion though, I don't know that it's nerd appropriate, but kind of, I don't know, is I'm kind of nerdy about saving animals. I work really hard to rescue animals out of the shelters and find them homes. So that's one big thing, mostly
dogs.
That's
awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I've always been a dog lover too. Like growing up, my family, we had, at one point we had 8 dogs, so I totally, I have a lot of respect for passion, so that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I have a huge passion for that. I'm always out there, you know, working that corner, trying to fight for the ones who can't fight for themselves. So animals, people, go rescue animals.
Awesome. So wrapping stuff up, what are you currently working on next? What should we keep our eyes out for or ears out for? And
what's in the future?
Oh, the secret stuff, more secret stuff. Yeah, that's the difference. Most people like plug, and you're like, I can't plug anything.
It's not fair. It's really
my life is a secret.
I hope it changes. I can tell you that you can see me on television. June 14th, the opening episode of a show called Memphis Beat with Jason Lee, who used to be Earl from My Name is Earl.
I love Jason Lee. He's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not exactly the Liara in that one, but it was kind of a cool part. So that's an on-screen thing that's coming up. And as far as gaming goes, I can tell you.
Yes.
I have recorded maybe 10 more games.
What?
Yeah, it kind of blew up. Like you said, you didn't say I won the lottery, but I did. I won the lottery when I booked Mass Effect, then Final Fantasy, then StarCraft. That was just a trifecta I couldn't have dreamed for. And I didn't even know what I'd gotten myself into until I was at the Spike TV Gaming Awards and, you know, have three games nominated, Mass Effect nominated for so many categories. I was there with Jennifer Hale, who was nominated for Best Voice Actor. And again,
you guys just had amazing chemistry too. Like we had like a Spike VGA award party at our place and just had everybody over. And we were laughing at you guys because you guys were just looking like you were having the time of your lives. And
oh, we were having a blast. And it's, you know, I've walked a few carpets in my day with, you know, the other stuff that I do. But being out there with Jen and being pretty much the only voice actors on the carpet, I didn't see anybody else. I was like, where is Troy Baker? Where is, you know, where's Laura Bailey? Where is Liam O'Brien? Where's Yuri Lowenthal? Get these guys out here. So I think it's really interesting how, I think the gaming community just hasn't quite, I don't know if they will though. I don't know if it's something that they shouldn't do. I haven't really come to a conclusion about that. You know, it was nice to go. I was invited by Jennifer Hale, who was nominated, and that's the reason I was there, was to support her and to cheer on my games, who are all nominated, or so, and, you know, hang out with some of the wonderful people who make these games. And we don't get to see them in person a lot because they're either in Japan and Canada and, you know, wherever, in Orange County.
Yeah, right.
so that, it was a really great experience. And I hope that, you know, like you said, though, I'm just not sure. Well, I guess it'll come out in the future whether gamers really want to see more of their voice actors and see us sort of in the raw, or if they'd rather keep us under wraps and just see us as our characters. We'll see how that works out.
That is so cool. Well, you are officially done, and we appreciate so much. I mean, like, we obviously huge fans, and we are going to follow your career very closely. Thank you so much. You are so incredibly humble and so awesome, and we appreciate it so much.
Oh, and thanks. Nice to meet you.